ladies and gentlemen. The 18th of May, this is the House Water Committee meeting. We will open a subcommittee of the committee, and we will take public testimony, starting out on Senate Bill 185. So we'll open a public hearing on Senate Bill 185. And I have the Oregon Cattlemen's Association. Kay is here to enlighten us about the Oregon Cattlemen's Association's perspective on Senate Bill 185. Good afternoon, Kay.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Chair Jensen, members of the committee. My name is Kay Teasel with the Oregon Cattlemen's Association. And the way we review the bill, we're in support of it. We feel it clarifies the current actions of the Water Resource Department, and this may eliminate a need for future litigation on such matters. We believe that this bill will provide irrigators the opportunity to take advantage of an additional water management tool by being able to utilize the in-stream lease program without fear of forfeiting their supplemental water right. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Kay?
No, sir.
Thank you very kindly.
Thank you.
Appreciate your testimony. Appreciate the written testimony. And with that, we will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 185 and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 594. And we have Russell Rustoff, that's correct, and Dave Cleary. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Chair Jensen, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Russ Stoff, legislative liaison for the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, and with me today is Lieutenant Dave Cleary, Fish and Wildlife Division of the Oregon State Police. The purpose of Senate Bill 594 is to clarify the current statutory language regarding angling license reciprocity on the Columbia River, where it forms the boundary between Washington and Oregon. This bill codifies in statute the existing interpretation of license reciprocity utilized by the Oregon State Police and the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife game enforcement officers. It allows the holder of a valid Oregon or Washington license to take fish or shellfish in Washington or Oregon waters of the Columbia River, where they form the boundary between the two states, without the need to purchase a license from both states. It requires anyone other than a Washington resident to possess a valid Oregon license when taking or landing shellfish by boat in Oregon. It establishes the requirement that all persons landing fish by boat in Oregon are subject to all Oregon laws, rules, and regulations relating to the take of fish and shellfish, including bag length and requirements. Example, the Oregon bag limit for the Columbia River is 2 salmon or steelhead. The Washington bag limit is 2 salmon and 2 steelhead. Any person landing salmon or steelhead from the Columbia River by boat in Oregon would be required to follow the Oregon bag limit and be in possession of only 2 fish. This bill also requires the state of Washington to adopt rules or regulations making an Oregon license valid in Washington waters of the Columbia River, where it forms the boundary between the two states. These rules or regulations will implement reciprocity statutes that Washington currently has in place. The bill does not change the current law, which requires any person angling from the Oregon shoreline, sloughs, or tributaries of the Columbia River to possess a valid Oregon license to take fish or shellfish, nor does it allow an Oregon or Washington resident to harvest shellfish on the beaches outside the Columbia River without possessing a valid license from the state the person is harvesting the shellfish in. This bill contains provisions in subsections 2 and 3, stipulating that if Washington fails to recognize reciprocity for Oregon anglers, Oregon will cease to recognize reciprocity for Washington anglers. This concludes my testimony, and of course we'll be available to answer any questions the committee may have.
Okay. Are there any questions for us?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Representative Cummel.
Thank you. in the example that you gave, Russ, it says, you said that the Oregon bag limit for Columbia River salmon and steelhead, for example, is two. Is two fish, and the Washington bag limit is also two. And then you went on to say that if a person is landing salmon or steelhead in the Columbia by boat, but they're on the Oregon side, they'd be required to follow the Oregon bag limit, which it happens to be the same as the Washington bag limit. My question is, what would happen if the bag limit in Washington were different? If the bag limit were, let's say, three, then if they're on the Oregon side, would they be following, have to follow Oregon, which is only two? But if they were on the Washington side, they could bag three. How would that work? And I don't know, Mr. Chair, maybe there's not any fish where the bag limits are different between the states, and it is a moot point.
Mr. Chair, Representative Crummell, perhaps I misspoke in my testimony or didn't make my example clear, but in Oregon, the bag limit is two salmon or steelhead in combination, so no more than two. It could be two steelhead or one steelhead and one salmon. And the Washington bag limit is two steelhead plus two salmon. But as far as the mechanics of how enforcement would work, I'll defer the question to Lieutenant Clary.
Thank you, Chair Jensen, committee members. I'm Dave Clare with the Oregon State Police Fisheries Section. This is one of the issues that we're trying to clarify because, and I've talked to Washington about this, and in the compact when we set joint regulations together, this two fish or two steelhead bag limit is a carryover from when they had two separate commissions. And we're saying, you know, to make these consistent, or right now, our interpretation is if you leave the Oregon shore, regardless of where you catch those fish, and land them in Oregon, we're going to hold you to our bag limit. Washington, if an Oregon boat went out of a Washington port and fished on the Oregon side and we checked him, we're going to hold him to two fish. But if he stays on the Washington shore, our side of the river, and then lands into Washington, he could actually take the four fish that they allowed. So I think the enforcement guys are saying where you leave and come back to, we're holding you to that bag limit. But it's confusing to the anglers because the particular the river, maybe the boat ramps better on the Oregon side, so a Washington person who's looking at Washington regs, he just launches over there, goes over to his side of the river, catches his four fish, and comes back to Oregon to take his boat out of the water, and he's in jeopardy because they're going to look at they're going to refer to their state regs. So we want it to be clearly specified that you can come to Oregon and launch your boat and come back. We welcome you, but you still have to follow our rules that our commission established in this group. So we feel that statute, it makes it very clear and gives fair warning to the people out there.
Then that brings up another question, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Is there a particular reason why Oregon and Washington commissions can't decide on decide on a common bag limit so that there's not the confusion and then both states are recognizing the other state's license and the same bag limit and that's where, I mean, either Washington comes down to one or one or we go up to a two plus two, two and two, or you know whatever combination is is in there.
Chair Jensen, Representative Crummell, again, that's the question we're asking the members of the compact that take action for the states. And the explanation I got from the Washington representative was, well, this is a holdover. We have a constituency that still think of steelhead as outside of the Columbia River, the salmon. We're doing spring Chinook, and they see that as a different bag limit. She says, we're willing to sit down and work with you and pass that on so that the regs are consistent. We also think this bill, if passed, will give us more leverage to say, you know, if we're not consistent in regulation, then we can't offer reciprocity. So when we come into these problems that come to be, we need to reach an agreement, and that's either Oregon moving up to that level or convincing Washington to come down to ours. So we're relying on having a clear statute that we can go over to and say, okay, here it is. We've gotten to this boat of we had an understanding, we've been operating, but we didn't really have any leverage with them. So we basically divided the river, and we left people at risk, and that's not good. It's not clear.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Are there questions for that? Did you have any other testimony, Lieutenant?
No, sir, I didn't.
Well, this is just a public hearing on 594 today. I have to say I appreciate Representative Connell's questions, and it leaves me always with some concern where we have difference between the two states and we set up some kind of a reciprocity. Not that we in any way discount or discredit, the integrity or the, you know, of our department and how we enforce the rules, but I worry a little bit about this issue until such time as both states are dealing with either apples or oranges. I mean, one's one way and one's another. It gives me some pause to wonder.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I've got the answer to the problem. I went fishing up there a couple weeks ago, and the guide put his boat in on the Washington side and came across onto the Oregon side and picked me up, and we fished all day long, and I didn't catch any fish, so there wasn't any problem.
Representative, you fish like I do. We'd never have a bag limit problem if it were
I just went for a boat ride.
Yeah. I do a lot of fishing, very little catching sometimes, but... that's...
Is a bag limit count if you catch the bottom?
I don't know.
Catch the bottom?
Yeah, that's about all I ever catch at the bottom. I get snagged on more. Whatever's down there, I find it.
Yeah. Old battleships.
It could be anything. You know, it could be battleships. It could be seaweed.
Yeah.
Chair Jensen, I may add that we have with Washington worked out some common bag limits for other species, and I think that this has been an ongoing process to try and work out our terms of cooperative angling, and I think we're optimistic we could work out the bag limit issues.
I guess, when we're dealing with the endangered species here that's subject to all of the other various and sundry protections that we have, I have some concern that people from Washington fishing common water have preferential treatment, if you can excuse, except for Representative Brown and myself, have preferential treatment because they're entitled to basically four fish and we're entitled to two. And there seems to be some real discrepancy here. I appreciate that the state of Washington probably going to have some political problems in trying to cut that bag limit to ours. And so one of the questions, I guess, I'd like to go back to the department, ultimately to the commission, is why is it that Washington gets to catch twice as many of these endangered species that we here in Oregon get to catch? And I realize they're supposed to have the fin clipped and, you know, all that sort of stuff, but they're still the same. We're still fishing the same waters. It's the same fish we're catching, and it's very difficult for me to distinguish between Washington and Oregon waters when I'm out in the middle of the Columbia River there, and which I'm sure is part of the problem that this bill is trying, you know, is addressing. So, before we come back in a work session in a few days on this, I would like to see if the department wants to try to provide me, enlighten us a little bit on that question, if you will.
Chair Jensen, I'll get with staff and we'll get back to you on that before this comes back up next week.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
That does bring up another question, though, if I may, and that is, if a person has an Oregon license, but they go over and fish on the Washington bank, or they fish on the or they launch from Washington in a boat and go back to Washington, does their bag limit automatically double? I mean, is it two and two then, or are they held to the Oregon standard because they have an Oregon license?
Representative Jensen, Representative Krimmel. My understanding in talking to my counterparts is if an Oregon licensed fisherman leaves their shore and fishes in Washington on the Washington side of the river, he would be entitled to the same bag limits as a Washington resident. The issue would be that if you as an Oregon resident chose to launch there but fish on the Oregon side of the river and were checked, your bag limit's the Oregon limit of two. You'd have to stay in Washington waters.
So you have to know where the line is then.
Right. When there is these minor changes, we'll enforce to the state line our regulations. So that puts that person in jeopardy, that they're going to have to recognize where that middle of the river or where the shipping channel is or those types of issues. And I think the reasoning on the steelhead in particular is most of the seasons that we're there fishing are related to the spring Chinook fisheries, and there's very little steelhead catches. So if you're springer fishing, which is what Oregon people are after, there's very little interaction with steelhead, and you catch very few. But we've convinced our commission, don't give people an opportunity to have an excuse to stay and exceed their limit. When they catch their two fish, have them come home, not be able to tell the enforcement officer, well, now I'm fishing for steelhead, and he hasn't changed anything. He's still targeting spring Chinook, but it creates a loophole. So they feel that the impact in that particular case is fairly minor, and it's basically Washington offering an opportunity for that occasional steelhead, but we don't see very many people actually out fishing for steelhead during the time that this happens. So.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, with that, we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 594, and we'll open a work session on Senate Bill 185, which we heard the testimony from the Cattlemen's Association a moment ago. Sandy, would you refresh what we've done and our memories on this?
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you, and members of the committee. You'll recall that we had heard from the department on Monday the 16th. You should have some written testimony from the Cattlemen's Association behind your materials today, in addition to what we heard in testimony from Kay. This bill clarifies that a holder of a supplemental water right will not be subject to forfeiture of that right for non-use if the reason for non-use is that the primary water right associated with the supplemental right in question has been leased or set aside for in-stream uses. It declares an emergency. There are no amendments. There's no revenue or fiscal impact. And that is all the information I have, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I'd move Senate Bill 185 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Crummell moves Senate Bill 185 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Is there any objection? Call the roll, please.
Representative Barnhart?
Aye.
Representative Brown?
Aye.
Representative Dalto?
Aye.
Representative Tomei? Excuse?
Yes.
Vice Chair Dingfelder?
Aye.
Vice Chair Krimmel?
Aye.
Chair Jensen?
Aye. Senate Bill 185, having received constitutional majority, is declared passed. We'll go to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and we would entertain a consent calendar. Representative Barnhart moves for a consent calendar. Is there any?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Body language works well on the sentence. Not for the microphones, but for Representative Barnhart has moved Senate Bill 185 to be put on the consent calendar. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. And then with that, we're going to have a possible reconsideration of House Bill 2265. And you will recall that this is a bill that we passed out of committee a few days ago, exactly, Sandy, on 5-4. And as it happens, this bill has a subsequent referral at the time to Ways and Means, and that was what we passed it out with, was a referral to Ways and Means. And we got caught in that narrow window of time between when we dropped the bill and when the Ways and Means process kind of disintegrated. Unlike a whole bunch of other bills that some of you saw that were up before the House and Senate Budget Committees yesterday, where they were just, in those bills, they were just transferring them from Ways and Means to the appropriate House or Senate Budget Committee, as the case might have been with it. This bill, however, wasn't in Ways and Means at the time that that was put together, and as a consequence, the only way we can do it to get it back into Ways and Means is to bring it back in for reconsideration. So, yes, this has just been informational meeting at this point, Sandy. And with this, we're going to open for a possible reconsideration. And the chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and reconsideration of House Bill 2265 be taken up immediately. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. The chair requests unanimous consent that the motion on House Bill 2265, without recommendations, with amendments, and be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means, be reconsidered. Is there any objections? Hearing none, so ordered. The chair will entertain a motion on House Bill 2265, without recommendation, as amended, be printed, engrossed, and rescind the subsequent referral to Ways and Means, and be referred to the Committee on Budget. Representative Cromwell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move House Bill 2265 without recommendation as amended be printed, engrossed, and rescind the subsequent referral to Ways and Means and be referred to the Committee on Budget.
Representative Crummell moves House Bill 2265 without recommendation as amended be printed, engrossed, rescind the subsequent referral to Ways and Means and be referred to the Committee on Budget. Is there any discussion? Representative Barnhart.
Yeah, I would like to recall my faulty memory and ask what the vote was on the original motion the last time the bill was in the committee.
Sandy, do you have the...
I do, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the vote was unanimous, 7-0-0.
And did we pass one of the amendments?
This was the bill as it is a dash 3 amendment.
I've got so many different amendments, so I can't remember which one it was.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And
Mr. Representative Crummell and Representative Dingfelder.
My memory serves me, and I don't know if it's correct or not, but serves me that when we sent this to Ways and Means, we sent it without recommendation.
That's
without
right.
recommendation also. So we're basically sending it to the committee on budget with the same caveat.
Thank
and
you.
Mr. Chair, I probably should mention in here that this is the House Committee on Budget, not the Senate Committee on Budget.
that probably would be appropriate, although I think the other committee probably would have trouble taking it, but Representative Dingfelder.
I just wanted to clarify that you had said it was the dash 3 amendments, so this was a gut and stuff, correct, with the dash 3 amendments?
Yes.
Thank you.
The original 2265 contained another bill, which we just switched bills, I think, in essence, on this, if memory is serving me correctly, roughly. Okay. Is there other discussion? Would you call a roll, please?
Representative Barnhart?
Aye.
Representative Brown?
Aye.
Representative Tomei?
Excuse.
Vice Chair Dingfelder?
Aye.
Vice Chair Crummell?
Aye.
Chair Jensen?
Jensen votes aye. And with this, then, we are going to announce the motion carries, and we are going to close our work session on House Bill 2265, which I assume was why the department came to be with us, to make sure we didn't go too far astray. We do have scheduled a work session, colleagues, for Senate Bill 896. Let me open that work session on Senate Bill 896 and ask if there's any questions, problems, discussion that you have on this bill. You will recall this was Senator Starr's bill. He brought it in. It has having to do with a tax credit for the manufacture of water transit vessels. And there was quite a bit of discussion at the time. Would be interested in your thoughts today. Are you interested in moving this bill? Or are you opposed to moving this bill? It has a subsequent referral to revenue.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Cromwell.
I don't have any problem moving this bill and with the subsequent referral to revenue. Shows that Oregon is open for business and that we're open to businesses of you know, all kinds coming in, especially businesses that can be environmentally friendly, which I think that water vessel transit is would certainly can fall into that category. And if we can attract a manufacturer here, then what the heck, let's do it. So, Mr. Chair, with that, I would, if it's appropriate for you, with you, I would go ahead and move Senate Bill 896 as amended with a due pass recommendation to the Committee on Revenue and then to the floor.
Do you have amendments on that?
No.
There are no amendments.
Oh, okay. So did I say as amended?
Yeah.
Oh, I was looking at the A. So Senate Bill 896A to the Committee on Revenue with a due pass recommendation.
Mr. Chair, I am very supportive of the watercraft industry. However, I have to say that I didn't find the testimony that compelling. I wasn't convinced that we need to give a tax credit to this industry in order to grow. And so I will respectfully be a no. I realize this is going to get a revenue where they're going to do, hopefully, a very thorough analysis of the need for this tax credit. But I've been very judicious about voting for tax credits this session. And so I will be a no.
Representative Barnhart.
I don't have anything to add, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
I just want to say for the record, I love boats. Being a sailor myself, however.
Well, this is just a little bigger boat.
Yeah, it's a little bigger boat.
The salaries you make at the revenue.
Yeah, you have something to say.
It's a faster chair.
Please.
I really enjoy canoeing on the Willamette River. And so I like boats, too.
I'm not opposed to ferries.
Representative Barnhart, this is going to take a fairly decent-sized paddle for you.
My experience with boats is there's a big hole in the water you put money into.
That's why I don't own one, Representative. I just want other people's.
I think I would respond a little bit to Representative Dingfelder's concerns about the tax credits, and I do appreciate her comments and position, on this and on that issue. However, this is a Oregon has established something of a pretty good industry in some of these, very large specialty types of vehicles. We have one of the very very profitable, I think, and very good, not nearly as environmentally friendly, perhaps, but in the motor coach industry here, a lot of jobs, pretty good jobs in that industry. So, if this were something that could, in a small way, replicate that particular industry, I think it would, personally, think it would be well worthwhile. So,
Mr. Chair, I'm sure the good folks in revenue will also be able to analyze, and I just think it's important to get on the record my concerns about the impact on the revenue.
Okay, very good. No other discussion? Would you call the roll, please?
Representative Barnhart?
No.
Representative Brown?
Aye.
Representative Dalto?
Aye.
Representative Tomei, excused. Vice Chair Dingfelder?
No.
Vice Chair Crummell?
Aye.
Chair Jensen?
Aye.
Having received a constitutional majority, Senate Bill 896 is approved and is being referred to the House Committee on Revenue. And at this point, we are at the verge of adjourning, and for announcements purposes here for members of the committee, if you could take the time, we are having the Oregon Plan OWEP awards being given, I think, on the steps of the Capitol. Front to back.
Is that front?
Right,
yes,
up.
Front.
Right up this
well,
way.
Well, it says front steps.
Front steps. And, it, you know, I'm sure that some of those folks would appreciate seeing some of us there. At least Representative Dingfelder has announced that she wants to go, and I do too. And with that, we are standing adjourned for the day. And